We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
Long drop. Fire the left corner of the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown. Laviska Shenault for the score, and the Jags have extended the lead.
Play fake, dropping is Trevor, stepping up, fires deep downfield, got a man out there, that ball is going to be caught for the touchdown,
DJ Chark, a Chark attack.
Trevor drops,
fires toward the end zone, that ball is going to be caught for the touchdown.
He drops the throw,
fires middle of the field, caught by Chris Manhurts into the end zone, touchdown. Lawrence to Manhurts for the score, and Jacksonville is on the board.
They blitz, all-out blitz, pump fake, fires toward the end zone. That ball is caught by Pharaoh Cooper for the touchdown.
It's a blitz. Fires toward the end zone, in the corner of the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown.
Dropping the throw again is Lawrence. Looking.
Now fires it deep downfield. He wants Marvin Jones Jr. Marvin went up. Did he make the catch? Yes, he did. First down, Jacksonville. Play fake. Lawrence keeps it. Made a man miss. Dives toward the end zone. Touchdown. Trevor ran it in himself. And the Jags have extended the lead in Cincinnati.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Mike DeRocco, and E to the T.
Oh, E to the T. Good morning, Jacksonville, Florida. Welcome in. It is Jaguars Today on this Thursday. E rolling it back to week four. They didn't win it, but they were competitive against the Cincinnati Bengals, trying to give you a little feel-good coming out of J-Fund Day. My goodness, Tony, do you have the final tally?
I can pull it up here.
You people, I mean, are just unbelievable.
You wonderful people.
Dude. Seriously.
I mean, I got it.
What? Give me, all right.
The previous record was 157,000.
Our goal was 150.
Yeah.
You know, you try to be reasonable. Yeah. So 150,000, and what was the final tally?
$243,369.
That's a lot of money.
$250,000.
Yeah.
$250,000.
It's unreal.
We were short for 150.
I mean, you now the problem is you've set the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Jacksonville, Florida. You're freaking amazing. That is crazy. I remember when we first did these, we're like, we got $50,000?
Yeah.
We raised $50,000 in a day?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Yeah. I mean, look, it's the generosity of the people in the Jacksonville audience, the 1010XL audience, knows no bounds, man. $243,000 when it's all said and done. I don't know who had the single high, but we had an anonymous donor during our show yesterday donate $9,600. Mm-hmm. So unless I'm told otherwise, I'm claiming that's the biggest single person donation ever in the history of the J-Fund Radiothon. So there you go. And they would have gotten a little bit more, but I had to buy breakfast this morning. So, you know, I told you guys,
Nummy,
right out of the hands of the children. I told you that last week. Bad people. I bought breakfast, and E.T. likes two straws. Don't ask me why. Ask E.T. Why do you like two straws?
I can always identify my cup.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. If I go to a party, if I'm at a bar or whatever, I can always identify.
You're the guy with two straws.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I got E2 straws. I got Tony none. But Tony went ahead and took one of E's straws, assuming he would get a straw. I don't know why he would make that assumption.
That's crazy.
Seems reasonable to me.
Drink out of the cup, Tony. What are you? Freaking bourgeois? Come on. Unbelievable. D-Rock and Morgan.
When I look at Tony, I think bougie.
Oh, he's exactly, so bougie. Yeah. He's all bougie over there.
By the way, I wanted to ask D-Rock, have you watched any of Hawkeye on Disney Plus yet?
No, I have not.
Are you a Marvel Cinematic Universe person?
I'm not a fanatic about it.
Have you seen most of the movies?
No, not most.
I just wanted to ask your general impressions of the last 20 seconds of conversation before we went on air this morning.
I was highly amused. It was awesome.
Okay. They had the arrow. It was a small arrow. It was a big arrow.
Because I wanted to let you know that none of that was made up. That was all in the show. Like everything with the plunger arrow, and he made a bigger arrow.
He made a bigger arrow. Now I know what the plunger's for. Spoiler alert.
Okay. I missed that, but now I'm going to go
your
watch.
Toilet, all right? It's good, man. I love Hawkeye right now. What's up, E?
I saw like a little nugget on social media with The Incredibles. There was a scene where a helicopter went into a building, and then it fast forward to something with what's Samuel L. Jackson's name?
Nick Fury.
Nick Fury, where there was a helicopter that went in the building, and he turned around and he looked. You know what scene that was?
I'm not sure. He's like, in both.
I'll dig it up.
Is he in The Incredibles?
I've never seen The Incredibles.
Oh, man, classic. That's another one of those movies when it comes on after a while.
Everyone says that's kind of like loosely based on the Fantastic Four.
It kind of is,
You know, Marvel's first family and all that stuff.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know.
It's awesome.
I'm more for the live action. Speaking of live action.
Oh?
Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I didn't watch it last night, but I'll get to it.
It's now
the
longest running live action comedy show in television history.
Is that for real?
What was the previous?
I don't know. I'm guessing like MASH or something like that. However many seasons it would. So they're going into their 15th season. When it started, you're like, they'll never make 3 years with this.
You know, like, and every year I tune in and I'm like, they're going to hit a wall at some point. They're going to run out of ideas at some point. They just keep getting better.
No, they'll just have Mac drop or gain 75 pounds in an off season.
It's unreal.
I mean, it's just so longest running live
action. Actually, here is the answer.
What is it?
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet.
Okay. What do you have like the top five or anything? I imagine Seinfeld went for like, 9 years, 11 years? I don't know.
This just
the
says
Office
that
was
it,
like nine.
It just, said it beat out Ozzie and Harriet, which ran for 14 years. Fifth is longest running. Here we go.
Everybody's cracking up to Ozzie and Harriet back in the day.
Okay. Yeah. Let me go down.
Sure, they were though.
To the top. I've got the top five.
Oh, top five. Count them down.
Well, I guess we've already done one and two. This is weird.
Yeah, this is weird.
This is a
makes
while
for good
ago.
Radio, as well.
Yeah, this has the Simpsons.
The Simpsons not live action. I hate.
This is TV sitcoms. Yeah, you want live action?
Live action.
Come on, D-Rock.
Television comedy
live
shows
comedy that we broadcast on Thursdays.
Sunny.
But never in, August.
Come on, somebody!
What are we doing?
All right, we're doing the Breakfast Bowl today, so we got that coming up later on. D-Rock's back on top now. Taylor in second. I'm in third. And those other guys. I'm not in last. That'd be called fourth, but that's good. Mm-hmm. Beats fifth, E.T. D-A-L.
Somebody looking at me?
There's no fifth. It's just D-A-L. But we'll get to that coming up in hour number two. Question of the day. Today is out there on social media. It's how are you going to top yourselves with $250,000 donated?
Yeah.
No, that's not it, but that's a good one. We're asking you 2/3 of the way into the season, how would you grade the performance of Trevor Lawrence this year for the Jacksonville Jaguars? And I didn't want to say based on what your expectations were. You can take that into account if you want to. You can just say, I'm going to grade him against all the other quarterbacks in the league. I'm going to grade him on a rookie scale. I'm going to grade him on the fact that he has misfired at times. I'm going to grade him on the fact that his wide receivers are probably not running the right routes at times and can't get great separation. The coaching hasn't been magnificent. You can grade him on anything you want. We left the criteria up to you, but that is the Jaguars Today question of the day. 2/3 of the way into his rookie campaign, how would you grade Trevor Lawrence's play in 2021? D-Rock, do we have a top five list, or are you just giving
up? Yeah, I'm looking at it here. 14 seasons was My Three Sons and Ozzie and Harriet. And then 13.
Fred McMurray starred on My Three Sons.
12 seasons was Two and a Half Men and The Big Bang Theory. And then 11 seasons, a lot of 11 seasons.
A lot of 11s, all right.
Yeah.
But 15 stands alone for Sonny.
Happy Days among those that went 11
Debauchery.
Seasons. Murphy Brown, Modern Family.
Don't know if they'll ever top Human Meat, though. Still my all-time favorite.
That show is nuts.
That's my favorite, though. That is my my absolute favorite episode of It's Always Sonny. So if you want to get in today, a number of ways to do it. We didn't talk a whole lot of football stuff yesterday, understandably so, with the Radiothon going on, but today, if you would like to be a part of the program, you can call us up at 641-1010. You can text the show on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at that same number, 641-1010. You can hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at ESPN DeRocco, and at IME to the T.
Come on, somebody.
D-Rock, you told me your editor at ESPN. You got a new editor that you're working with at ESPN.com these days?
Yeah, he started just before the season began.
And he's wondering, because this is his first full season then going working with you as right. A Jaguar correspondent, and he's wondering, what do you usually do at this time of year? Is that the
He's
case?
Like, what do you normally write around this time of year when, you know, the team is the way it is? And I'm like, draft, baby.
Yeah.
Free agency.
You're starting in on that, right?
Yeah, I think it's running Saturday, maybe.
Okay. Well,
it's basically fix the wide receivers. It's not sure. Just like draft. It's like, it's their number one need. You got to fix it. And, you know, what are the options?
But, and again, not to make this a draft show, that's coming soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
Are you advocating for them to take a wide receiver with their first pick in the NFL draft?
No.
Doesn't seem like that's going to be the value.
No, it would be, well, first of all, sign one of the three. If, you know, I don't know how many are going to be available, whether it's A-Rob, Devontae Adams, or Chris Godwin.
I'd say maybe two.
Maybe two of the three. Sign one of them, and then go ahead.
I bet Godwin gets franchised if Brady doesn't retire. And I bet they bring him back for one more.
Maybe.
I think they'll let Robinson walk because he, you know, is
that may not be an option. I mean, all three guys may not be an option for them. But
I wonder what Allen Robinson's market's going to be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Although, I mean, if Kenny Golladay got freaking $18 million, Allen Robinson's a better player.
You're going to have to
Kenny
pay
Golladay. You're going to have to pay big
20
for any of those guys.
But then our one of our NFL draft analysts, new guy Jordan Reed.
He could stayed healthy. He could have been a great tight end.
Right. Exactly. he could, the thing is the Jags might be better off trading out of the top pick
and
out of the top, into the top 12 to 20 or whatever. And then there's some options there.
A lot of wide receiver options there. You know, yes. It depends on, you talk about like Hicken was talking about the pass rusher with Hutchinson from Michigan.
It was really
right?
good. Does he
play in a 3-4 though? Can he play in a 3? I honestly don't know. Like, is he more of a classic 4-3 end? And if so, are you switching everything up defensively again?
I mean, it's all kind of a mishmash these days. Anyway, you can line up here and there, line up there. Look, I don't care what he plays. He had 15 quarterback pressures against Ohio State. Just Ohio State.
Yeah, but you understand? In this league, every week it's Alabama.
Correct. Right? So. Oh, is it?
I've heard that tale.
How do Bev and Bernie feel about it?
Yeah, ask Bev and Bernie.
That's really the important question.
That sounds like a really cool dive bar. Bev and Bernie's.
It's not bad, but we already came up. It's a Thursday night sitcom on TV Land. Airs 8 to 8:30 on TV
right
Land.
Right after Ozzie and Harry.
My three sons. Sandwich. It's in the sandwich right there. Stuck right in the middle. Ozzie and Harriet, Bev and Bernie, my three sons. Coming up next on TV Land. All
sounds
right.
Like a good fantasy football name. Too.
Lock it in and rip off the knobs. All right, the table is set. We'll hear from Trevor Lawrence today as he spoke yesterday, but we want your assessment of how his rookie season has gone, and you can factor in anything you like. And, give us as much detail. If you want to just give us the letter grade, you can do that. But the more detail, the better. We would appreciate that. All right. Again, pat yourself on the back. Hearty congratulations to the people at Jacksonville for being so generous and raising so much money for the Tom Coughlin J Fund and the Radiothon yesterday. I mean, that had blown $243,000 plus blows me away. And no, I did not. Take money away from them to buy these guys breakfast, okay? I put it on top. So, all right, there you go. For the record, it's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, D-Rock, and E.T. on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I think they're different players, but I see the same ceiling to answer your question, which I don't think Stafford's reached his ceiling. I think most people agree with that. And Trevor, certainly, I'm not sure you can see his ceiling right now.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
If you're talking about wins and losses, mm-hmm. then no, Matt Stafford probably has not reached his ceiling. But statistically,
he's going to be 34.
Right. Well, I mean, so. But you look at the numbers that he's put up in his career. If you're saying that he hasn't reached his ceiling in that category, I mean, the guy's had a 5,000-yard passing season where he had 41 touchdowns and 16 picks that year. he's got 309 touchdowns, 153 interceptions. So 2-1, pretty good.
Would you take those numbers for Trevor stats at age 34?
I think I would. I mean, 309 touchdowns. I mean, that means he's going to play here for the next 30 years, right? Is that
On pace.
Did I do the math right?
No, I would think it would be 14, maybe. Let's see. He just turned 22, so wait. 12.
Right, but I'm just doing the math on where he's at right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll get better. Yes, my point being, would I take
would
that?
Would you take that?
Yeah, I think I would. I mean,
you hope the discussion is different. Like, the Stafford discussion is so clouded with the lack of playoff success that Detroit had, right? Like, that's kind of the thing is you would have, it felt like for 5 years, we would have these off-season conversations about, is Matt Stafford elite?
Right.
Right? Like, is he among the top 5 to 8 quarterbacks in the league? Well, you know, they're not winning any playoff games. That's what it would come down to. You would look at the numbers and go, you know, wait a minute. Maybe he is, you know, among the better quarterbacks in the league, but without the playoff success, you're never going to be solidly in that camp. So hopefully the Jaguars are winning playoff games at some point with Trevor Lawrence.
That's the thing, but just on the pure numbers.
Yeah.
If you look at what Stafford's done historically, it'd be, man, I mean, look, we all hope that Trevor exceeds his numbers, but would I take it? Well, yeah, because there's also downside. You know, there's the risk of injury. There's all kinds of things that can go wrong. First of all, I hope that Trevor Lawrence is here at least as long as Matt Stafford was in Detroit. I mean, that's number one. But, you know, this year, it looked like, hey, all he needed was some talent around him, and they got off to a 3-0 start and then a 7-1 start, but then they've lost their last three. And in part, I mean, really, the Tennessee and San Francisco games, he contributed greatly to those losses because he threw a lot of interceptions early. I want to say he threw two, like, in the first quarter in each of those games. I know at least one pick six, might have been a pick six in each game. He did have one. I think he had a pick six in each because Jimmy Ward got him in the San Francisco game, and somebody got him in the Tennessee game. I can't remember who it was. And then they, of course, lost to Green Bay this week. He played better offensively in that game with 302 yards and 3 touchdowns. But, you know, he's having a good season. But I think after the 3-game losing streak, the MVP talk has quieted down on Matt Stafford right now.
Might get cranked back up after this week. Who knows?
It might. It might. We shall see. You know, I thought this week that the Jags secondary, considering they were down Shaq Griffin, as much time as Matt Ryan had to throw. Now, granted, I don't have Cooper Kupp running around out there, but, you know, that Kyle Pitts was a complete non-factor.
Right.
And Russell Gage did do some damage, but it almost seemed like the Jags took away everything deep, and Russell Gage hurt him with a few balls, like, right over the middle. Nothing,
right, some intermediate stuff.
Yeah, nothing fancy, though. You know, it wasn't like he was breaking ankles out there. But regardless, I mean, they won the game. They scored enough points, and they ran it, for the most part, right down the Jags' throat this week, which has been rare.
No, they did. But looking at the Rams game, if you pass rush the way you did this week against the weapons the Rams have,
you could be in huge trouble.
It's going to be bad.
Because the Rams don't care. The Rams will throw it 50 times and run it 10 if that's what's working.
Absolutely, they
that's
will,
who,
yeah.
That's who they are. And Darrell Henderson comes in banged up into this game. Sony Michel, look, if you let Sony Michel get off, you're going to have much bigger problems, you know, because I'm going to assume then that the passing game is doing whatever it wants at that point in time. If Sony Michel is seeing, like, light boxes and running for 5.5 yards a carry in the second half of this game, I don't know what to expect out of Darrell Henderson against the Jags this week. I don't know how much he'll play. He is, you know, limited, banged up. I don't know if they feel like they need to push him in this game. You know, look, we said a lot of these things. Not necessarily the same matchups, but the same about the Buffalo Bills coming in. Like, how are they possibly going to match up with this offense? And they did. So you got to give them the chance to go out there and prove us wrong. But
and the Jets did win out in L.A. last year, didn't they?
They did win in L.A., but there was magic in the air at that point.
And Jared
in time.
Goff in the air, too, by the way.
Yes. I don't know which team, who would it be now that would, because Detroit is looking like they're on a beeline to the number one pick.
They are, yeah.
You've got Houston and the Jets, who the Jags still have both on the schedule.
Yep.
And so, you know, which of those teams is going, we got to have that number two pick this year? I don't know. I don't know if there is that clamoring there.
It's not quite the same quarterback draft
this
year.
No, not quite. Let's get to a little bit from Trevor Lawrence. And let's start with cut 4, E, from yesterday, 18 seconds there. You know, we just heard Urban Meyer compare Trevor Lawrence to Matt Stafford. This was Trevor Lawrence yesterday saying, growing up in Georgia, he just watched Matt Stafford play back in college.
Where I grew up, everyone was Georgia fans, so I always talked about him. And then I grew up watching him. He's played for the Lions, but still was a quarterback when I was a kid. And just, I mean, he's had a ton of success in his career. If you look at him, like, he's one of the definitely the best quarterbacks in the league, and he's impressive to watch. So I've never met him, so I'm excited to meet him. To compete against them, it's going to be fun.
Considering Trevor Lawrence is 2-9 as a starter, okay, to rolling out the one tie that Matt Stafford had in his career, and that just came back in 2019. See if I can do the math here. 79-85. If you took the 2-9 start out, Trevor would have to go 79-85 to match Matt Stafford's record. So while we would take the statistics, maybe anybody taking 81-94-1 overall for Trevor Lawrence, would you take that right now based on where they're at, Tony?
I mean, I'm not taking it. No.
Okay, yeah, I mean, because basically, again, from this point forward, let's even assume they go 3-14 this year, right? So if you take 3-14 out, that'd put you at 78-80, basically a .500 quarterback the rest of his tenure over the next decade ish. Is that good enough?
No. Again, I'm not taking it.
Okay.
Like I expect more out of Trevor Lawrence than that.
What do you think? Like, if I told you the Jags in the next 10 years will break 500 or be sub 500, and Tony, you will get a large cash prize at the end of those 10 years if you correctly predict which side they come down on. Which side are you going with?
Oh, I would bet under.
You would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you bet
without
under,
question,
so your expectation is that he would be worse than that.
It has nothing to do with Trevor, though. For me,
no, I'm not saying it does. Right. I'm just saying with the team and all those circumstances. But your expectation is the team's performance over the next decade would be sub 500, right?
After this past decade, absolutely.
I totally get where you're coming from.
No faith that they're going to get and become one of the upper echelon.
Okay,
teams
so then would you take an 80-80 record out of Trevor Lawrence in his next 160 starts? That's a lot of starts.
Yeah, because
a lot of starts.
Now just shy of 10 years.
You would think that would include maybe 1, 2, 3 winning seasons, which would also get you in the playoffs. And we've seen
is
if you get in
enough?
The playoffs. I mean, look.
I know. I'm just asking
we're asking this 22-year-old kid to save this franchise, and man, oh man, is it like so far down.
Do you think Detroit Lions fans feel like they got enough out of Matthew Stafford?
Probably not,
right?
Probably not.
I mean,
well, they had Matthew Stafford, and they had Calvin Johnson at the same time.
Right.
And then they didn't get enough. I mean, Barry Sanders gave every living bit of his soul to that franchise.
Still is.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's the franchise.
All right, let's see. How many winning seasons prior to this one would you say? I'm going to skip the first 2 years. So he was 2-8 his first season as a starter, very similar to this guy.
Yeah.
And then he was 1-2 the next year. And then got hurt. So from 2011 through 2020, 10 seasons, how many winning seasons for Matt Stafford do you think he had in Detroit?
3.
I was going to say 3.
4.
Yeah. That's close.
So he had an 11-5, a 10-6, and 2 9-7s. Is that good enough? I mean, I'm not saying it's all – it doesn't matter if it's
they made
all
the playoffs.
All,
how many times did they make the playoffs?
I imagine they
probably
made the playoffs.
3.
Maybe 2 of those times. Maybe
11-5 for sure.
11-5 and probably the 10-6. But I'm guessing maybe one of the 9-7s, maybe. Not sure. 2016, 2017. Well, I tell you what, I just go to Stafford's postseason game logs and tell you how many times he's been in the postseason. 3 times. And they were 1-16,
done. 16, 14,
yeah, 16, they were 9-7.
And 11.
Yep, and they lost. They only had really one close one, and that was the Dallas game.
Lost the wild card round.
Is that the one where Calvin Johnson thought he had a touchdown?
No, that was the one with the bad call went in favor of Dallas that week, and the next week that was Dez with the catch against Green Bay
that
should have been called a catch but wasn't. Like
what
all
was
that.
The call that went against Dallas then?
It was,
or went for Dallas?
Offensive pass interference, something like that. That's my recollection. It was one of the tight ends, I want to say.
I would think if you ask Jaguar fans, hell no, their expectations have to be higher than that. Now, I get it. Your reality sets in. And
expectations
look,
different than would you take. Because after suffering through what they've suffered the last decade, if you're a 500 team, that means you're in the playoff hunt going into December most of the time. I think after what they've gone through, they would probably take that.
I would not take that. I would not. If you told me now, but, you know, if you know that 10 years, he's going to light up the scoreboard oftentimes. He's going to throw for 4,000 plus yards like it's nothing, right? Which you should once you become an established guy, especially now with a 17-game season. But if you say in those 10 years you're going to make the playoffs three times, you're going to lose in the first round every single time? I mean, you've had better than that. I would contend, right? Yeah. I mean, you went to the AFC Championship game. That, to me, is better than three playoff appearances where you're one and done. To me, that's not how everybody would feel about that because they get to enjoy that season and have the hope. But your hope would ultimately get immediately crushed. I mean, I think the ride of winning two playoff games in a postseason, to me, is better than making it and getting bounced in the first game three times. That's me.
I mean, you're probably right with that. I just think that after what they've gone through the last decade, Jaguar fans would probably be very, very happy to know that they have a chance at least to make the playoffs going into December, whereas for most of the last decade, they pretty much know before they're putting on their Halloween costume, this team's got no shot.
I would imagine there were plenty of seasons where Detroit fans felt like they didn't have much of a chance, although there were some, you know, some 7-9s in there, 6-10, but a 5-11, a 3-4-1, you know, a 4-12. They went 10-6, and then they fell to 4-12.
Yeah, I mean, if you look from 13 through what 17, they were 7-9, 7-9, 9-7, 9-7, 11-5.
Yeah,
I mean that's not great, but
for us, that's very Del Rio-ian or something.
Del Rio-ish,
something like that.
Without at least one playoff win thrown in there, yes.
Yes, doesn't that feel like a Jack Del Rio run?
They were that kind of competitive every
year. Right,
man,
don't we long for the days of Jack Del Rio level competitiveness around these parts. I wonder if you saw his smiling face when they stopped the two-point conversion on Monday Night Football. He, of course, is the defensive coordinator for Washington. So, got the dub there. All right, when we return, we'll hear more from Trevor. We'll hear more from Urban Meyer. They both spoke yesterday after Jaguar practice. Let us know, Jaguar fans, would you take the career of Matthew Stafford for the next decade when comparing that run, the 2011 to 2020 run in Detroit? Three playoff appearances, basically a 500-ish quarterback in that time period. A lot of statistical success, but ultimately really no postseason success because they never won a postseason game. Is that enough for you, getting that out of Trevor Lawrence? Maybe it is compared to where things stand right now. Maybe you think it's going to be a while before you think they're really a 500-type football team. You can let us know at 641-1010. Hit us up on Twitter as well. The question of the day today just asks you to grade Trevor Lawrence's performance to this point, two-thirds of the way through his rookie season. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Trevor's going to be a great football player. He's going to be great for the Jaguar team. He's going to get there. It's not easy. Pieces have to be put around him to help him. Certainly watching that talented young man, I believe he's going to get there. It just takes time.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, 24-hour rule after the J-Fund Radiothon ends. You have to like Tom Coughlin for the next 24 hours. So you cannot be like, oh, I don't want to hear what Tom Coughlin has to say about the Jaguar football team. You must like and appreciate Tom Coughlin, at least for one 24-hour period. So after local programming goes off today, you can feel how you like about that. But he thinks Trevor Lawrence will be just fine. As Urban Meyer said, you can't see his ceiling from here. All right. Maybe it's because the cloud bank that the coaching staff has put over him. That could be.
Someone has tied rocks to his feet. He cannot rise.
He cannot rise. I think he can rise. D-Rock, how much of a major shift? Like, Trevor, we'll get to his comments here about up-tempo and all that stuff coming on. Can they do enough to, over the last six games, they can't change the personnel drastically, right? But is there anything they can do to get him to where we're universally feeling like he is ending the season with positive momentum?
Yeah. If they went back, which they're starting to put in, and do some of the things that he was comfortable with at Clemson, I think they've done it backwards. Like, they just basically threw him in the pro-style offense right away, which is where you want to get him to anyway. I think we all agree on that. But I thought they should have done more stuff that he was comfortable with and felt good doing early in the season, and then kind of gradually phase that out, as opposed to starting the other way, and now they're gradually phasing it in. Look, you want the kid to develop. So now what you've done is you've put him in here for 9, 10, 11 weeks, and now you're like, okay, we stink. Let's go back to some of the stuff he does better. Okay, well, now you're down your best tight end. You're down your two wide receivers. Your running back's all banged up. So even if you put some of the stuff in there that he's comfortable with, you're still dealing with a limited roster of playmakers. So, I mean, that when they went tempo, they had two long 70-plus yard drives last week. And I think the tempo made him feel more comfortable, and he made some throws, and guys made some plays. So, look, like you said, the personnel is not going to change. So they're not maybe win one, maybe two more games. But, I mean, if he starts throwing more touchdown passes and has a couple of games where he's got more than one, maybe you will end the season feeling a lot better. And then you go into the offseason and figuring out what the hell are we doing in offense.
To me, the tempo thing is like, okay, that's fine. But that, like, you can run a pro-style offense with tempo. You know, you can, you know what I mean? Like, that's
yes.
Just a matter of how quickly you're getting in and out of the huddle, how quickly you're getting up to the line and forcing the defense not to substitute. Like, to me...
So why not do that earlier?
Well,
when he clearly was comfortable with it.
And that's fine, right? But I'm talking about, like the
RPOs,
run-pass option
yeah, the
stuff
spread
and, the,
options,
and the zone
yeah,
read
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, the zone. That's fine. Add some of that stuff in there.
But to me, like, I can understand why if they said, ultimately, we want to get this guy to where he is mostly a pocket quarterback and can survey the field and slice defenses apart because we think that's the guy that we drafted, that ultimately that's where he's going to be, that if they had gone, let's say, heavy read option early on, right, like, and you spend basically the entire offseason building up to that, not knowing you're going to lose Travis Etienne, right, not knowing you're going to lose DJ Chark, not knowing you're going to lose O'Shaughnessy, who then made you have to go out there and get Dan Arnold, who then you ultimately would lose, and that some of these wide receivers would underperform, that you're thinking, okay, we're going to have a rough spot or two early on, but rather than spend months getting him ready to play some hybrid version of what he did in college, let's spend all that time trying to get him as prepared as possible instead of trying to switch that on the fly, because I do think it's more difficult to be, you know, it's. I think it's easier for him to run some of the stuff that he ran in college, right? Because he's used to doing
right.
it, right? And it does risk injury, but in terms of just executing it and getting him feeling good, it's probably an easier thing to do. So I think it's easier to go to that as opposed to build with that and then decide, nope, now we're going to take that out of it.
I wasn't saying just grab Dabo's playbook and run that.
I understand.
That. I'm saying the mix of the stuff that they're doing now they should have been doing earlier in the season. The goal was to get through this season and feel great about Trevor Lawrence as your franchise quarterback. So it's not easy to play quarterback in the NFL. We all know. We've all seen these rookie quarterbacks who have come in and floundered, and it's just not worked. We've seen it here. So get him as comfortable as possible. Like, look, Urban Meyer could say whatever he wants. They all knew this was going to be a absolute terrible year record-wise. They knew it. I mean, they were 1-15.
I know exactly the phrase you're going to use.
Right. I mean, 1-15. They were awful, okay? So, you know, just get him on the field. Get him feeling pretty good. Run the stuff they're doing now, run some of it in. And then as he gets more comfortable, then you phase it out. I think it's easier to phase it out as opposed to phase it in, I think. For me,
it's my principal frustration with the football team right now is the offensive coaching staff, and that includes Urban Meyer. It's that we get into the season, they don't know what to do with James Robinson. A couple weeks into the year, they're like, well, maybe we should run some more read option. They were doing it. They were doing it, and the offense was more effective 6 weeks ago. 7 weeks ago, they were doing this. The offense was more effective, and then they said, you know what, we got to cut that out. We're going to get this kid hurt. So then you went through a month where they can't score. They can't get first downs. They can't sustain anything. So this past Sunday, they said, you know what, maybe we should try this read option thing a little bit more in this game. It's so all over the place offensively with this football team right now. It's hard to even imagine what they're going to try this week against the LA Rams. I have no expectation level right now because I don't know that they have an idea week to week what they want to be.
Well, talking about the tempo that you talked about, you know, playing at that pace, Trevor Lawrence did remark on that yesterday. He said that did help him against Atlanta.
No, I felt good. You know, I thought that got us in a rhythm. Obviously, you know, last few weeks we've kind of been you know, a little stagnant offensively. We've had a few good possessions here and there, but just not as consistent as we want to be. And I really felt like last week, you know, that was the first game where in a couple weeks where we really got in a flow and it felt good. And I think tempo helped that.
You know, the thing of it is, too, is like we're focusing on what helps Trevor, but we're not and we're focusing on the play calls and the way they've styled the offense and all that other stuff. But, I mean, even with the tempo and the stuff making him feel more comfortable in some of the RPOs and the read options, they still only scored 2 touchdowns because they're so limited playmaker-wise. So that is complicating everything. I mean,
no question.
If he had the Jets receivers, his numbers would be significantly better. I firmly believe that. Like, they have the worst group of receivers in the league.
Detroit.
I don't know. I'd even probably take Detroit's.
Can you name 3?
No. I do know. I mean,
Raymond, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Reynolds.
Look at the Jets receivers because that, to me, I compared it with the rookie quarterbacks. Like, what does Mac Jones have? I'd take Kendrick Bourne.
Kendrick Bourne's right now playing
N'Keal
so much
Harry,
better than,
yeah, Nelson
Aguilar.
Oh, I don't
know about N'Keal Harry.
I'd take all of them over what's here. And I'd take all of the Jets receivers over here.
Well, if they're healthy,
Corey Davis, always the caveat.
No, but that's a big part of it. I mean, because if Chark were healthy, you know, you'd say, all right, it's a little bit different. I mean, I'm not saying it would fix everything, but it would be a little bit different because Corey Davis is in and out of the lineup a lot. I'm saying if you have the Jets group healthy with Corey Davis and then Elijah Moore and Jamison Crowder, Braxton Berrios, even. That's not a bad quartet. It's not the worst quartet that you could possibly
have. You take the Bears receivers that Justin Fields is dealing with.
I take Darnell Mooney.
I take A-Rob. I mean, I know he's hurt now, but I mean, the thing is, I'm looking at it as this core of receivers hurt or healthy that we have here in Jacksonville is not better than any of those three. Certainly not better
than... they're all healthy.
Right, if everyone's healthy, and that's the way I'm looking at it because I don't want to...
better than Detroit. They are.
Well, I was looking at the rookie quarterback situations.
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, certainly you would take what you have in San Francisco.
Yeah,
what those rookies are dealing with, you know, this is by far the worst. Hell, San Francisco, Trey Lance hasn't played a ton, but, I mean, his way better. Those weapons are way better.
Oh, no doubt.
It complicates everything that they do when you factor in that they're still tinkering with the offense at this point in the season, and Daryl Bevel didn't want to do any of this stuff, and now they're doing it.
Well, and that's, I think, to me, the crux of the whole thing. How much, like, it's not like Daryl Bevel comes out and says, damn, I'm at odds with Urban over the offense, right? But this is what has been gathered, reported, felt, whatever, that Daryl Bevel wants to run more of a tradition. Like, you hired me to coordinate the offense. We need to – let's not do him a disservice by running some of this college stuff when ultimately we want to get him to here. Let's throw him in trial by fire. This is my spin on it, okay? That I'm not saying it's right, by the way. This is kind of the mentality. Let's throw him in trial by fire, make him that pocket quarterback, whereas Urban might go, well, hell, man, why aren't we running what Clemson ran? Because he did great, right, doing that kind of stuff. I know you can't run it exactly the same, but how much of it is simply that? Is that an accurate representation, do you think, of the two points of view that they are just at odds on how this offense should be run?
Yeah, a little bit. Now Bevel did run some read option with Russell Wilson, and he had Russell Wilson as a rookie. As well. So he's dealt with that. And they want to get him.
A little different, though, taking Russell Wilson, who was at the knock on him was he going to be a pocket quarterback at his size, third-round pick, as opposed to the first overall statuesque 6'6"?
Right. 6'6", 7", whatever he is. Yeah, I mean, so he had some experience in that. And I understand. Look, what Urban said at the beginning of the year is, like, I pick Bevel and I pick Schottenheimer because I want this kid to be in a pro off. That's the best thing long-term for him and the best thing long-term for this franchise. And he's right. But there was it just makes more sense to me, and it would have been a smarter thing to do, was to get him comfortable, get him rolling, you know, in the offense so he feels good, so he's got confidence. And you guys know, in any sport, anybody with confidence generally tends to play a lot better. And if this kid gets some confidence rolling, how many games has he thrown more than one touchdown pass, by the way?
One or two.
No, one.
The opener.
The opener.
Yeah.
That's it. That is absolutely it.
How many games has he thrown a touchdown pass?
He has not thrown a touchdown pass, I want to say, in three games?
Four. Ah. So seven times. He didn't throw it against Cincinnati, and then he just had a three-game skid snapped of not throwing a TD. He's thrown one touchdown in the last month's
worth of games.
I forgot
the Cincinnati game, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, in the month of November, he threw one touchdown.
Like it's,
he also only threw one interception, but one touchdown.
Right. It's not good.
No.
I mean, and look, they're stuck with it. This is what they're doing now, so we'll have to see how it works. But it should have been a – they should have flipped it. They should have done – and I'm not – like I said, don't throw Clemson's playbook at Darryl Bevell and go, that's it. Just incorporate some of the stuff. I mean, you would have to think – during the interview process, that Urban Meyer and Darryl Bevell had this discussion, correct?
I don't know. I would assume that would have happened. I don't know.
That, Urban said the other day some stuff I want to do. If that conversation didn't happen in the interview process, then you messed up.
You would have to think they would have evaluated whether Miles Jack should be calling defensive signals. You would have to think a million things that. In hindsight, you're like, maybe it wasn't. You know, like I don't know
that that's something you have in the interview. That's the conversation you have in the interview with Colin.
I'm not saying
but,
you have it in the interview, right. But it's some you don't find out 4 weeks into the season something right. that everyone else knew after four years of data on that.
That is correct. But again, you entered camp with Joe Schobert calling those signals. So you weren't really planning for it, and then I guess their default was Miles, you do it.
Okay.
So, I'm not disputing what you're saying. You are right. They should have had that conversation.
It does seem like there should have been some conversation along the way. And whether there was or wasn't, you know, that's all to me on Urban Meyer. You know, maybe there was, and maybe they had this. He's like, all right, I'm going to trust you. Run it your way. And now Urban's trying to say, hey, we need to do things. Maybe it is that. You know, I don't know. Urban Meyer did say yesterday that they simply have a lack of consistency on the offensive side.
You keep adapting to your personnel. You know, you've been a little fluidity at wide receiver with trying guys out. I mean, I can't remember weeks in a row. Okay, we got a tryout. Tryout for what? And you go and you know, and they're great dudes. I mean, Treadwell's. You name a guy playing harder in the NFL than Laquon Treadwell. Tavon Austin. You know, John Brown had some injuries that didn't work out, and you know, just. The lack of consistency.
Like, I get it. Guys in and out. We've talked about it now for months, it seems. It's not one culprit.
No.
There are a lot of factors that go into it. But I am very curious to...
How did you do a deep dive on the NFL and try out for what comes out of your mouth? I'm serious. Deep dive in the NFL and try out for what? What do you mean try out a player? What is this?
Tony, the only thing I can think of is that
you would never – like you're doing all the research on building your team, building your roster, managing your roster during the season, all that other stuff. Maybe tryout was so far down at the bottom he didn't
– I feel like that wasn't like
– but you're right.
I didn't understand that you had player tryouts more like, what, again? We're doing another – like here we are, we're in week whatever, and we're just – we got to – go to the street, the old street free agent thing, and find a guy to put in our lineup to get on the field and play. So I think it's more from that standpoint. I don't think he's going, well, what do you mean tryout? What's a tryout about? I think it's more like, really, we're doing what now in week 11 or 12?
When you hire a guy who's never spent a moment in the NFL, it's going to take a while for him to figure out what the hell's going on. And you have to go through it to understand it.
Is it taking... Is it?
I thought it would take the whole year. I'm not. I don't think he's behind. I thought it would take the whole year, and it's probably going to take him a month or two. But just before they go into free agency, before he can really kind of decompress and figure out what the hell happened this past year, what he wants to do different. I mean, staffing changes aside, just being able to sit down and die and you know, remember what he did and figure out what he wants to change, I think will take a while for him.
All right, let's come back. Tony will take you around the league. We'll keep the phone lines open if you want to get in. 641-1010. The question of the day asks you to kind of grade Trevor Lawrence's rookie campaign through two-thirds of the 2021 season. Hit us up with your thoughts on Twitter or on the phone lines or text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. We've got the Breakfast Bowl coming up in hour number two as well. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Mike DiRocco and E.T. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, gems around the NFL brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jacks Beach.
Seattle has signed running back Adrian Peterson to their practice squad. AP spent three games earlier this year with the Tennessee Titans before being released a couple of weeks ago. New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones is expected to be limited in practice all week with a neck injury. His status for Sunday is unclear. Arizona quarterback Kyler Murray, who has not played since week 8 because of an ankle injury, was participating in the portion of practice that was open to the media. The hope is that he will be able to play on Sunday. Wide receiver for Arizona DeAndre Hopkins, also a limited participant in practice. Still unclear what his status will be for this week. And week 13 in the NFL gets underway tonight with the 7-4 Dallas Cowboys at the 5-6 New Orleans Saints. Taysom Hill will start at quarterback tonight for the Saints. Saints running back Alvin Kamara has been ruled out now for the third consecutive game. Cowboys wide receiver Amari Cooper has been cleared off their COVID list and is listed as questionable for tonight's game. We'll see if he's able to go. Sounds like he's going to be a game-time decision for the Dallas Cowboys. Here's we kick off week 13 in the National Football League.
All right, thank you, Tony. Ready to get it rolling tonight with Dallas and New Orleans. And come on, Alvin Kamara. I think Alvin Kamara would be a fine pick for any of you guys. Start things off.
Let me go ahead and scratch off
Amari
Cooper. Thanks, Tony.
Sure?
Thanks, Tony.
How about Joe Mixon? He on your list this week?
I did a deep dive on everybody's roster this week. Check
the list. First time last week.
Did a deep dive.
Didn't help me, but first time last week that somebody took the same player twice all year. We did our draft off the air heading into Thanksgiving, and E.T. was all fired up with his first pick of Joe Mixon, and it was a great pick.
It
wasn't until we came back around again that I think Tony caught it, right?
I was very upset.
Caught it. He just didn't mention it right out of the gate.
I was very upset with E.T. when he did it.
Ah, okay.
Because Mixon was at the top of my running backs for the week. I had Montgomery and Mixon.
Should have gone Fournette.
Were my two running backs. I know, but were my two running backs. And I knew me and Taylor had not used Mixon on the year. And so when E.T. said it, I was like, what is he doing?
But shouldn't there be, like, if someone takes him and they've already taken him, that shouldn't use penalize the rest of us.
We've done that. That's been historically what we've done.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe next year we'll have a rule change.
Maybe.
I like it.
You know what? If you're the two-time defending champion, you can put that forward.
I might be.
You might be.
I might be.
We'll see. All right. Let's get one more in here from Trevor Lawrence getting ready to make a cross-country trip. It's not just all about what's going on. Internally, they got to face the L.A. Rams and a team that struggled. Let's be honest. I mean, they have struggled, but I don't think the Jags have the personnel to make them sweat for four quarters. I just don't, like you made the point, if D-Rock, if they give Matt Stafford the time that Matt Ryan had, I mean, Cooper Kupp's not going to get locked up like Olamide Zaccheaus may have this week, you know? We got to get Shaq Griffin back for this one. But here's Trevor Lawrence yesterday on the challenge that the Rams defense presents.
Obviously, you got to be conscious of a few of those guys. You know, you got Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey in the back end and Von Miller. Like, they got some guys scattered around that are really good players. So, you know, we've seen Vaughn, and obviously we know what he can do. So we'll go up against him twice, which is kind of ironic. We would have never thought that at the beginning of the year, but that's just how the NFL works, I guess. So we're excited for the challenge, though. We feel good about it.
Not usually NFL works to that degree, but Jalen Ramsey in the sore back end, I believe, is where he is. I'm just rolling off of Ogier yesterday.
You know what was really funny was when Urban was asked about Jalen yesterday, he was raving about Jalen, and he was just incredulous that somebody that talented was in this building and they let him get away. I mean, it's like it was like before, like Urban could not wrap his head around the fact that, wait a minute, you had a guy that he thinks is either 1 or 1A in terms of cornerbacks in the NFL right now, and he's not here now. You let him go? He just couldn't wrap his head around that.
All right, so how, going back without relitigating the whole
thing. Right.
Like, what should they have done differently?
Well, I'm just saying that's from Urban's perspective.
I get it. I can understand from his perspective, right. Like, wow, you had this great talent, but
you could have paid him the second you had a chance to pay him. You could have. We knew it's not like he was okay as a rookie and then as a second year. Like, we all knew where he was going.
Like, it didn't matter. If you paid Jalen, all you would have been doing was paying more money to a guy who's going to be disgruntled anyway. I don't think that would have made Jalen satisfied. He wants money and whatever. He wants to dictate his situation. Look at Deshaun Watson. They paid him huge money. He's Jalen's best buddy, it seems like, in the league. And before all the off-the-field issues came out with him, reported that he would never play another down for the Houston Texans. He wanted out.
But you asked what could they have done? That's the only thing, really. If you had showed him the bank, then, yeah, that thing might have been the same. Everything might have been the same after that Houston game with him and Coughlin and Dave Caldwell and Marone in the room. But then he can be mad and upset, and, you know, I've got $30 million guaranteed coming this year.
But that doesn't stop him from faking a back injury, no matter how much he's making, you know?
But to me, anybody who's going to do that, I have no respect for.
I don't trust that he would have, I think you got to be careful who you pay the money to. Yeah, you got to pay the money to talented people, but I don't know if that alone is enough to make Jalen buy in. Like, Jalen's the kind of guy, when it started off 7-1 this year, oh, everything's great. Mm-hmm. You know, but Jalen's the kind of guy, when it doesn't go right, he's finger pointing at everybody. And it wouldn't surprise me if that happens. If LA were to collapse, it wouldn't surprise me. You knew that's
who he was when you drafted him.
Well, and I think for this whole situation, he's not the only one. He's the only one that faked a back injury to get out of here, right? Like, he's the only one that went to that extreme. But Yannick Ngakoue, is he a problem in the locker room? Right?
No.
He didn't want to be here anymore.
Not if Dante Fowler's not in the locker room.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, they tried, but he
still refused the money. I think that does speak to something that was going on with the organization that hopefully has been fixed at some point, because they were finding talent in the draft. They couldn't hold on to it to save their life.
Well, we'll find out when it comes time to pay Josh Allen. We'll find out if it's really changed.
Oh, I think Josh Allen will get paid big. Josh Allen seems like he's an all-bought-in guy. And it seemed like, for the most part, Jan was too.
Yeah.
Right? But I felt like the contract they offered Jan was fair. You know, like, Jan wanted to be paid like he was Von Miller, and he was never Von Miller. You know, he was good. He was a reasonable facsimile of Von Miller.
But maybe something could have been reached had it not been, no, you're not that good. You don't play the run real well. And then we're not negotiating anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is, you know what I mean? Like,
that's how it seemed to have worked. Yeah,
well, that's pretty much how it did work. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, and maybe they would have been able to reach something if they would have said, you know what? Should you
not negotiate hard with a guy?
No, you can, but you don't have to do it like that. You know what I mean? You have to take into account you don't just negotiate in a bubble. You have to take into account who you're negotiating with. And you approach guys. That doesn't mean you give people what they want, but you approach guys differently based on who they are and their personality.
How you negotiated, maybe a bit of a different story, but in terms of what they were offering, Jan, when you look at Minnesota, let him go after 6 games,
mm-hmm.
right? They traded for him, let him go after 6 games, sold him at a loss, you know, based on what they invested in him. Baltimore had him for half season, let him walk out the door. And, you know, we'll see.
Playing well in Vegas.
He's playing well. Yeah. I mean, he's got 8 sacks. He's having a nice season. He's probably going to get his second double-digit sack season of his career. I don't know if he's, you know, I mean, my, you know, based on something in the, like, the $18 million a year ballpark, I don't think that was unreasonable. He's not Myles Garrett.
No, I think if I remember, and, like, these seasons start to run together.
I know.
I think he wanted 20 a year. That's what it was. He wanted 20.
Something like that.
He wanted 20.
But knowing how Caldwell would offer deals, like, had he played like a $20 million a year player, he would have made 20. You know what?
Yeah,
I mean?
I agree.
Like, guys want that money. Like, I don't. No matter what I do, I want to get paid. Like, I'm
okay,
the best, whether I'm the best or not.
But you've let a double digit sack guy go. A potential double digit sack guy go. He already had 10 sacks for you 1 year. And
12, right.
12, yeah.
But then he had nine and a half, eight, right. And he was that guy.
Okay, so he's around a double-digit sack guy here.
Very good player.
Right, you let him go because you didn't want to spend an extra $2 million a year over 5 years.
Okay, I mean, should you not have a limit, though? Should you always
not an outrageous limit.
So, I mean, from your point of view.
Well, $2 million, they had a ton of cap space. They still, I mean, the bottom line is you can't keep making excuses to not retain the good players you draft. If you draft, this team rarely drafts good players. So when you get them, extend them.
I understand that. I get.
And don't piss off your entire locker room by extending the guy that probably shouldn't got an extension while you're sitting there playing hardball with these other guys. And
it's funny because we were just having to talk about Baker Mayfield on one of the breaks, and I absolutely wouldn't pay him, and you think they should, and they felt like they were in that position because when you've got a quarterback and you just went to the AFC title game.
Yeah, I don't know that they felt that. I don't know if it's the same situation with those two, but.
And Blake's contract was nowhere near the kind of deal that Baker Mayfield is going to expect to get.
No, but that did annoy a lot. I mean, the Jalen camp, the Yanon camp. I mean, when you look at it and they go, wait a minute, you're willing to give Blake, but we're bickering over $2 million a year.
I understand.
I'm a double-digit sack guy, and you're bickering over $2 million a year.
I think the market has shown that no one was going to pay Jan that money. No one in the league. He was a free agent. Anybody could have paid him that money.
Exactly. So
nobody gave him that.
Now you're looking for another defensive end when you could still have one.
I understand.
Oh, by the way, your Jalen trade, the great Jalen trade, Kalyvon Chaisson, Travis Etienne, and Jordan Smith. Etienne's hurt. Chaisson's got 2 sacks in, what, 27 games? 22 games, maybe.
We
don't know about Jordan Smith yet.
What more could they have gotten for Jalen Ramsey?
No,
right?
Whether they screwed up the picks or not.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's
a whole different
issue.
Not
the actual pick. 2 first-round picks is great.
I feel like we're going back in the time capsule.
We are.
Right now.
It just goes back to they're in this situation now because of all that. Because of all that mismanagement,
but that's what they are right now.
Jan
signed a 2-year, $26 million deal with the Raiders. So several years ago, they're offering him more than 17 guaranteed with a chance for a couple million more in incentives, and he couldn't get anywhere near that on the open market. So to me, that tells me
they valued him correctly last year. Yes. Okay, again, you're maybe so, but at that point in time, he's one of the few good players you drafted.
I understand.
So you're still both sides lost. I don't think there was a winner.
No, there really wasn't.
Right? Like, I think that's what it comes down to. Neither side won in the thing. Jan didn't get the money he could have gotten if he stayed in Jacksonville. Jacksonville wouldn't be going, when are we going to get somebody next to Josh Allen to help him out? We would know who that guy was if they had found a way.
The thing that just gets in my head, it's like, this look back at the drafts. They don't draft good players here.
They just don't.
They haven't. So when you get one, keep the guy. Okay. Find a way to work it out. That's what your job is.
What if he wanted $25 million a year?
He didn't want $25 million.
But I'm asking, like, what is your limit? How much?
There is a limit. That's a ridiculous number.
Their limit was $4.5 million more than he would get a couple of years later on the open market.
You don't know that now. Maybe you don't know that then.
Maybe that was their assessment. Like, this is what we value him at.
And we're
overpaying him, and he wants even more than that.
You're okay with overpaying guys in free agency. You're absolutely okay with doing that because that's what you do in free agency.
Give me an example. I mean, I'm not okay with wasting money on guys.
Well,
but,
I mean, they paid Calais a ton and got him here, but then they wanted to redo the contract because they didn't like the contract and they got themselves in some trouble. They paid I can't remember what they paid Tayshaun Gibson.
Do you think they overpaid?
Zane Beatles? Was that overpaid for Zane Beatles?
Well, I mean, I think that's what the market bears if there's competition in the open market. There was no open market for Jan.
But
I mean, we're going over.
The tight end, the Broncos tight end.
Thomas.
Julius Thomas.
Julius Thomas.
That was a massive overpayment. Massive.
Sure, but we all wanted a weapon.
Okay.
Right?
Well, don't you want a pass rusher?
Sure, you do.
Why are you more willing to pay for somebody that you didn't draft than you are to pay for someone you drafted?
Contention is they were, and they felt like they were probably felt like they were overpaying him with the offer that they made. And when that wasn't good enough for him, like you said, there's got to be a limit. You are going to draw the line and say, well, okay, I'll make it 20. Well, they might have said it was 18, you know, and the market showed a year and a half later, 2 years later, he got 13. So that you can argue they were paying $5 million over market price a year. So,
sure.
Anyway,
I mean, I get it.
I mean, look, like Tony said, there's no winners in this whole thing. And I'm not, obviously the Jaguars front office has screwed up things royally with plenty of guys. We could spend like five extra hours on this thing. No doubt. All right. We end up going in circles.
All of it landed us Trevor Lawrence. Let's go.
And that's what it all
Mr. Brightside over there.
Trevor Lawrence and our 2-9 mark here and all the
dysfunction that comes along with everything we've had this year. All right, Breakfast Bowl coming up on the other side. The question of the day is still out there for you. You can hit us up on Twitter. How would you grade Trevor Lawrence's performance through the first two-thirds of his rookie season? You be the judge. You set the criteria. Let us know. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, D-Rock, and E.T. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and beautiful people all across the world, let's get ready for the Breakfast Bowl Challenge!
All Jags, all NFL, Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, last week, yours truly, last place. Once again, 41.8 points, ET with 44.2. Rounding off here, Taylor with 47.7, Tony at 61, and D-Rock with 85 to take the overall Breakfast Bowl lead back.
Oh!
He had fallen out of first place. D-Rock, don't celebrate. 6 weeks to go.
Back, that's you don't recognize the music.
This is a special request from D-Rock.
No, what is it?
Back where you belong, baby.
Is that right? Who sings this?
38 Special.
Oh, is this 38 Special? Okay. Nope.
Back where I belong.
Wouldn't
on
have
top.
Recognized it. Oh, could look at that in a lot of ways. 984 overall. Taylor's at 966. I'm at 943. ET's at 869. And Tony is at 857 as we head into week 13 of the Breakfast Bowl, where simply the low score each week buys breakfast the next week for the other four, and they take their lives into their own hands, whether they decide to consume it or not. You know, slow-acting poison is the key, ladies and gentlemen. Plausible deniability. All right, reverse order of last week. I will go first today, E.T., followed by Taylor, Tony, and D-Rock. We draft a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and a flex position. The trick is, once you use a player, you cannot use them again for the rest of the year. Once someone drafts them, even if they've drafted them before, no one else can have them that week.
Head swivel. So,
well, you can do that on purpose if you want to still not have them.
Oh, yeah, that spoiler. Zero is worth it.
I may just play spoiler at this point in time. You know, it's all coming out of my charitable contributions anyway. All right, I'm going to go with Alexander Mattison.
I knew it, man.
As my running back.
I knew it. So predictable, bro.
I am. Boring and predictable. Why don't you go with Joe Mixon for the third? Time.
Instead, I did a deep dive, and I need to go ahead and tape my boy Herbert. Man, let's go Justin Herbert.
Okay, Justin Herbert. I'm the last one who has not used him. Now, Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is hard. I feel like I haven't been in the middle. I'm always like the top or the bottom, so I get the double.
The double.
Okay, so let's go. I will take Mahomes.
Okay. By the way, ET's deep dive didn't let him know that Taylor, Tony, and D-Rock had all used Herbert, and he could have waited.
Yeah, well, I just don't trust you. I know you.
Somehow I would have changed
take
the draft.
Yeah.
Right, but you would have got another pick before.
But I
know
when you was going
to
take him, man. Hey, do you
all
and
right,
I'm going to do me.
This is how I do it. I am doing me. All right, Tony, go ahead, please.
Elijah Mitchell, please.
Elijah Mitchell. Okay. I like this week for running backs. A lot of good running back options. D-Rock.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mark Ingram tonight.
Mark Ingram. Probably no Kamara is the early word this morning. And you get another one here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Joe Burrow.
Burrow under the covers. Tony.
I will. This is a weird week for me. I'll go Hunter Renfro, please.
Okay. Renfro, bro. Taylor's got Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
By the way, is that a Jaguar print that you're wearing today? Would you call that?
It is, yes.
Okay.
That's my Jaguar.
Jaguar-esque.
Yes,
so
it is.
You won't be a little bit taking of any Rams, I take
I'm not.
D-Rock must have used the Rams already.
I know he's already used Stafford.
Oh, I used Stafford. I used Henderson, who I wouldn't play anyway.
I mean,
and
everyone's
I think
used
I used Higbee, too.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. I'm going to take Deontay Johnson.
Deontay. First name, guys. And now I'm the last one who has not used Deontay. E.T.
I'm going to take Antonio Gibson.
Man, I'm going to have to take Antonio Gibson. I can't believe I got to do that. All right. So many good options at running back here, at least reasonable options. But I'm going to go tight end and go to the island of Foster Moreau. Darren Waller, doubtful to play this week. I'm taking Foster Moreau at tight end. And then I'm going to go chasing those touchdowns. Give me Leonard Fournette in the flex. E.T.
I'm going to take Mike Evans.
Evans.
What?
I just like doing that to watch you react.
That was him. That was Tony. Nice guy, Tony. Unbelievable. Taylor, Mahomes, Deontay.
Okay. I'm going to take Gronk.
Gronk. All right, Tony.
I will Logan Thomas, please.
Too soon, huh?
Chuckle, very nice.
Chuckle, chuckle. D-Rock's got Burrow and Ingram. Who are you going with, a pair of guys?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cordero Patterson in my flex.
Okay.
And I'm going to take T.J. Hockenson.
Okay, Hockenson. Interesting. I'm curious. Because you could play, we determined you could play Patterson as a running back or a wide receiver. He's the one guy.
Yeah.
We're lying. So it doesn't matter. He's in your flex. Tony.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Okay. That must mean Tony's got a free flex because everybody else has used Brady.
Yep.
Taylor.
I will take Joe Mixon.
Again? All right.
It's not so good.
E.T.'s very disappointed. His best flex pick just came off the board. You're allowed to take him, though. He can get another zero, even though he's been used here.
I'm good, dog.
All right, dog. Tight end flex. One of those, please.
In my flex, I'm going to go with Tyler Lockett.
Okay. Tyler Lockett
explosive
it is.
Explosive Seattle offense.
Well, Tyler Lockett's been doing pretty well.
It's fine.
Yeah, bro.
Bruh.
He got me like three.
Oops.
Boy.
Says the person with five last places.
Oh,
and the second most points.
I'm going to hold off on that one. I've got a freebie, but I'm going to hold off. I'm going to go my last two picks. I'm going to go Lamar Jackson, quarterback, and I'm going to go Brandon Ayuk at wide receiver. E.T., tight end.
Let's go Evan Ingram.
Okay, Evan Ingram. Ingram with an E. Taylor with a flex.
I'm going to go James Conner.
Nobody, that's a good one. Nobody snickered at E.T.'s last pick.
What, man, what?
I'm just disappointed that no one did it. Tony.
Jonathan Taylor, please.
Taylor. Okay, and D-Rock, wide receiver.
Yeah, no one could take him but me, so Terry McLaurin.
All right. McLaurin it is. All right, here's what we got. I got Lamar Jackson, Alexander Mattison, Brandon Ayuk, Foster Moreau, and Leonard Fournette. ET's got Justin Herbert, Antonio Gibson, Mike Evans, Evan Ingram, and Tyler Lockett. Taylor's got Patrick Mahomes, Joe Mixon, Deontay Johnson, Rob Gronkowski, James Conner. That's maybe the most, big name friendly team right there. Tony's got Tom Brady, Elijah Mitchell, Hunter Renfrow, Logan Thomas, and Jonathan Taylor. And D-Rock has Joe Burrow, Mark Ingram, Terry McLaurin, T.J. Hockenson, and Cordero Patterson. May you all burn in a fire. Okay.
Wow, that is hate. And also, hateful.
Did I say that out loud? Because I was thinking, may you all underperform on the fantasy football gridiron this week. All right.
Okay.
Bad luck to all of you. Breakfast Bowl Week 13 is locked in for whatever. That's worth. Does anybody know Mark Ingram tonight? So we can all root against D-Rock tonight. He's the only guy I think going tonight.
You're welcome.
I just feel like I got to keep going with these off-schedule guys. I'm running out of tight ends. I don't know if anybody has any tight ends worth a damn left because I sure don't.
I got a few.
And Foster Moreau, baby. Remember the name. Okay?
He was on my list.
He should be.
I knew I wasn't going to get him.
Yeah, with Waller out, I think he's a solid enough play. All right, it's in the books. Taylor, I wish you the best, but these other guys. Not the best in this, but in general. In life.
In life.
All right, we'll come back. Let's take a look at the question of the day on the other side, which is certainly asking you to grade Trevor Lawrence's performance through two-thirds of his rookie season. We'll go around the table, give you our grades on that as well. When we return, you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, the question of the day, driven by Maserati Jacksonville. Come experience uncompromising luxury at Maserati Jacksonville.
All right, here we go. The question of the day presented by Maserati Jacksonville simply asks you today, through the first two-thirds of the 2021 season, how would you grade the job that quarterback Trevor Lawrence has done? And we left that kind of open-ended to you to set the criteria. Some people have broken it down to, you know, off-the-field aspects, press conferences, all the different things, and graded all the individual components and then given a total overall grade. You can do it any way you like. You can do it based on has he met your expectations. You can base it on the amount of help he's getting, both coaching and personnel. Whatever you like, you set the criteria. We just asked you to give us a grade. Tony, if you would, give us a representative sampling of what we got on social media this morning.
Sure. From Cristiano, C+. There are signs of improvement and glimpses of the franchise guy we all want him to be and will be. From Floyd, C, inaccuracy and not taking care of the football at times. From Tony, he gave us a B. Adam said a B-, mainly because of the lack of help with the weapons, protection, and scheme. Right now, Baxter broke it down like this. Press conference, A+. Pocket presence, A+. Accuracy, B. Steady improvement, C. Decision-making, B-. I guess that would all add up probably to a low B grade when everything is said and done there. From David, he said C+. Any chance of looking above average for a rookie quarterback has been false started, holdinged, illegal formationed, schemed, fumbled, or just blatantly dropped at every opportunity. Zero help from an underachieving team for the rookie quarterback on both sides of the ball. Cobalt Blue said it's a B- for him. Meta World Crazy said I for inaccurate. Samuel said I would give him a C. He's not working with a whole lot, a bunch of C grades in there. A D here from JM. Frankly, he's just not been that good. There have been a few wow moments. His accuracy and lack of touchdowns since the bye week are legitimate concerns, but it's hard to know for sure how much of his struggles are related to a lack of talent around him and future coaching. Oh, believe me, D-Rock, we hear from some small number of fans every day that are like, he's a bust. I'm already over this.
We
like,
need CJ Beathard
11
in
games
there.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, look, for the record, don't think he's anything close to a bust,
no.
And I think his future is incredibly bright. As Urban Meyer said, you can't see his ceiling from here. But let's go around the table, and we're not assessing where we think he'll be 3 years down the road. D-Rock, lead us off. How would you grade the first 11 games of his career?
Yeah, I probably would be like the C+ at this point, but he's – The way I kind of look at it is, like, if you're cooking a meal and you've got some good ingredients, but most of them aren't good, they're expired, they're bad, they're rotten, it's not great, that dinner's not going to taste real good, even if you are a good cook. So
you can still show off your knife work and technique.
That does sort of apply there. Look, he's been inaccurate at times, but he's also put balls on the money that have been dropped. By the way, they're second in the league now with 21 drops. Second in the league, one behind the leader, Los Angeles Chargers, at 22. But
Justin Herbert has nothing to work with.
Exactly. No issues there, none at all. You know, and the offense is just we're 11 games in, and they're like, I don't know what the hell the offense is gonna look like. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Well, as we go. I mean, it's just so much stuff working against the kid, but you can see the physical duels, you can see the way he moves in the pocket, and his mind, his confidence, and his just presence and poise are fantastic.
Okay, so C+ for you, ET. What do you give him?
I'm going to give him about a 77, which is probably about a C+.
Is that on your scale? I don't know, because
77 through 100.
Okay,
so yeah, it's about a C+.
Maybe. I like the 90 to 100 scale.
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, when I was in high school, it was 94 to 100.
Well,
yep.
Ours was 93.
Yeah, 93 to 100.
These kids get 90s. That was a B when I was in school. Like, that's just uncalled for.
I love.
You know how good my GPA
90.
Might have been? Not really.
Yep.
If I had been able to have that grading scale.
So 77.
Yeah, giving him 77. And it's because, like, he's not really being he's not developing the way that we wanted him to, that we expected. And that's not his fault solely. But there's other things that's around him that's the reason. But his development solely on him, I give him a 77.
I'm going to say that's like a low C, right? Like a C- range maybe? Is that?
No, 77 about a C+. Cause
C+?
Yeah, on that scale, on his 10-point scale.
Oh, on the 10-point scale it would be. Okay, so you're going the 10-point scale.
Yeah.
All right, so it's C+, two C+'s, Tony. Mm-hmm.
C. Just C. A flat C for
C,
me.
C.
Yeah, just a C for me. And I think, for me, watching the development of Trevor Lawrence over the course of the season, because you still see it. Last week you saw it. It's there are things that happen in the game where you watch him throw and you're like, oh, yep, there it is. You know, like every right. week he's still giving you a little bit of that. The grade would be a B or higher for me if at one of these opportunities to take the ball, go downfield, get points, and win a football game, it got done. And there are reasons that it didn't happen, right? And they're different every week. Sometimes it's on him with the fumble. Like, that kind of thing is directly on him. But because that hadn't gotten done, I can't give him any better than a C for what's happened this year.
I give him a C minus. Mm-hmm. And here's why. If you looked just at the numbers and you said, guy's completing 58% of his passes in a league where now 70 is like the new standard, high 60s to 70 is the new standard. 11 games in, he has 9 touchdowns. He plays every snap, 10 interceptions. You know, he's been sacked, like, for instance, far less than Tua was last year as a rookie, where everyone said Tua was horrible. Go look at Tua's numbers last year in the 9 games he played, 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions for Tua.
Yeah, that was more the eye test and the way he looked when he played than numbers.
And that's fine. You know, if you can grade him on the eye test if you want. I give him a C minus because if you just went on the numbers, it'd be an F. Quite frank, to me, if you're talking about a quarterback coming in,
took one overall,
who's right, number one, not just number one overall in a year where we have to get a quarterback, number one overall, we're like, oh my God, the drama of chasing the number one pick last year was the thing everyone was putting their hopes on. But I give them the C minus because there are all a lot of mitigating circumstances to this. I'm not blind. We talk about it every day. What the issues that he has. Coaching-wise, personnel-wise, lack of performance. Even those guys, like you said, when he hits them and they drop it, what are you supposed to do? But he hasn't always been accurate this year. You know, I mean, and granted, he's a rookie, but at some point, I expect a generational quarterback to show you more than an occasional flash throw, and he does give you those. Orlovsky pointed out, like, hey, like, you know, this guy's getting no help. And he's making 4 to 5 throws a week that, you just absolutely drop your jaw. And that may be the case. But, I mean, look, again, this is not where we think he's going to be 3 years from now. But I think we're all in a similar range.
I also give him credit that I think Trevor Lawrence saves his offensive line 3 sacks a week, minimum.
He might. He might.
Know, like I do. Like, watching games, he'll get the ball out of his hands quick. You know, when there's pressure coming, we talked about the play this week where, you know, his right tackle didn't block.
Right.
You know, he's just standing up because he heard something. He was like, what's going on back there? And now the guy's running past him. Right. Like that kind of thing. I think 2 or 3 times a week, Trevor is giving them those kind of things where I think they could be giving up 4 or 5 sacks a week. Instead, they're not bad when you look at actual sack numbers this year.
And that play sort of encapsulates the entire Jaguars offense for me.
Yeah.
In that it probably should have been a penalty, but it wasn't. But he just stands up, Juwan does. Trevor's about to get absolutely slobber knockered, and he still gets the ball away. And Ogunba Wally, I mean, it wasn't a perfect throw, but help your guy out a little bit here. Just drop.
Right. Did you hear Logeman break that down the other day?
I did not.
Logeman said basically it's his belief it was a silent count, okay? And that so you're going on first noise, okay? And so Trevor wants to change the play, and that he's it's tough to do because you can't just be like, alert, alert. First noise, Leonard's going to snap it, right? So he, based on watching the film, rewatching it, thought he was trying to signal to guys with his hands, like, I'm going to make an adjustment to the play. Like, whoa. And that Leonard snapped it early and that Juwan was looking back to get the play change from Trevor. So he
case, that definitely encapsulates this offense this year. Sure. Not on the same page, confusing as all hell.
By the way, he said Taylor had a bad game, but that on that particular instance, he thought that Linder snapped the ball early. And it's not really Linder's fault. If you're going on first noise and you go, whoa, that's a noise. Like, if I'm Linder, I'm like, first noise,
why would
snap.
You do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's the thing I don't understand.
And what Logeman said is, if that were the case, you probably, as a rookie quarterback, don't need to put in any plays
or run the play.
You can't change a play that's going on. You're not at that stage of your career where, like, Tom Brady probably has some hand signal that he can flash and everybody gets on the same page, and we're just not there yet. But
I thought it was interesting.
It is interesting.
We all looked at Taylor and were like,
but it's still a mess.
What are you doing?
It's still a mess.
All right. Let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Tire Outlet is now hiring. Visit TireOutlet.com/careers. Equal opportunity employer.
All right, Matt Hayes is here. Matthew, how are you?
You know, teams and offenses that have cohesion, they typically have a kill word. Like, easy, easy, easy.
Maybe, but if you're going on first noise, though, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that works. Like, you know what I mean? Like, first noise, except if it begins with a long E sound. You know what I mean?
I understand.
You
but
know,
it's just
a difficult spot to be. They're right. There usually is something. Maybe you shouldn't go on first noise. That,
right.
You know, it should
right.
be some other trigger. First hut or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, it's like D-Rock said. It clearly is a microcosm of what the offense
Putting
is.
All that aside, the people at Jacksonville donated almost $250,000 yesterday.
Unreal.
$250,000. Matt, you weren't here for the first few years of the J Fund. Tony and I were talking about, I remember thinking, are you kidding? You're saying we can raise $50,000 in a day? You think we're going to raise $50,000 in a day? Come on. And now it's five times that almost. I mean, just
I think
phenomenal.
Josie said the first year was like 10,000 or something.
It
right?
might have been. Like, mm-hmm. I remember, like, early in the second or third year, the goal was 50,000. We're like,
yeah.
Seriously, like, you know, I'm out here crying on the radio, like, and we're getting 12 grand. What I can't take it to a better emotional place.
This city's
know?
Unreal, man.
And they're
city
really just amazing. Unreal. So it was fun to be a part of it once again. You know, wish it didn't need to exist, but we're right. not curing cancer tomorrow.
Right.
So, you know,
a lot of work still.
All right, what do you guys have coming up today?
We got our coach Dave Campo here. We're going to talk Jags, and we got quarterback whisperer. We're going to talk about Trevor Lawrence and a lot of the comings and goings in college football.
All right, Matt, we'll be listening. Appreciate it. Have a good show. Go raise another $250,000, man. Come on. Get it done. Don't be a slacker. All right, D-Rock, what you got coming up at ESPN.com? You're going full-blown draft guy, aren't you?
I have a story coming later today about Logan Cook's My Cause, My Cleats fundraising thing where he and his wife helped a ministry based in New York build a well in a small African village.
Nice. Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the fix the wide receivers, it's their biggest issue, and what are the steps they could take? That I think that's Saturday.
Okay, and that includes a look at potential free agency
yeah.
draft, all the different avenues they have to upgrade the wide receiver core.
Right. It better be
Hey, but this time next
one.
Week, they may be mathematically eliminated. Do your research, buddy, because people are going to be coming at
yeah,
us with all kinds of—
Mathematically eliminated.
I mean, it's close.
In regards to the My Cause, My Cleats, you know, Nolan Carroll is actually one of the catalysts, the pioneers of
that. Is he?
Yeah, he was getting, like, the NFL sent out a letter, a statement saying how, like, the uniform regs and how not to, what they don't want on their cleats.
Right.
And Nolan had, like, 8 pictures on there. And then the following year, they started doing the My Cause, My Cleats stuff. So he was getting fined and stuff like that for years.
Well, good and for it, Nolan.
First, they couldn't wear them during the game either.
Yeah,
yeah
when
it
first
like
did that.
Pre-
you had to
pre-game.
Wear a pregame,
right?
which
yeah.
was.
I mean, come on.
I mean,
it's honestly absurd. You know how much more that brings it? It takes nothing away, and except for you're not all looking exactly uniform, you know, but it adds enjoyment. It adds flavor. Kids like it. You know, I mean, it's a big thing now to have sneakers,
oh, huge.
You know,
customized.
You know, airbrushed or whatever techniques they use to do them like that. So.
I had a great fundraising idea for the NFL during October, the breast cancer awareness.
Uh-huh.
They should have pink footballs in every game and then have the team sign them, quarterback sign them, whatever, and auction them off, make some money.
That's not where I was going with that, but that's an interesting one.
I'm trying
well.
To raise money for
that's
cancer.
Good. I like that. I like that very
or,
much.
Or let's get custom-designed footballs and
sure.
let them play.
I was just thinking I enjoy watching NFL games and seeing a guy with a shirt untucked and saying 10 grand. Like in my head.
or a socks down.
I'm like, oh, $10,000. He's willing to pay that to play with his shirt untucked. Okay.
CD Lamb yeah. every week.
Yep.
Pretty much. Probably tonight.
Yep.
You know? As long as it's not Mark Ingram going off. We don't care. All right. That'll do it for us today. Thank you, D-Rock. We'll see you next week. Great work as always. For Tony Smith, for E.T., I'm Mike Dempsey, Tommy Mack, and, of course, for Taylor Dahl as well. Tommy Mack in studio with us tomorrow as we'll focus on keys to victory.
Oh.
Against the L.A. Rams this weekend. That's what we do
Talk
every
about
Friday.
Doing homework.
Woo, baby. XL Primetime coming up next on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville.
Come on, somebody.